It's a Bill King show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
I just sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch.
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Alabama, they've got that game with Arkansas, very physical team. Kevin, where is Alabama better today than they were about 3 weeks ago?
Hey, good morning, Bill. First, I want to start off by just saying that my prayers are continuing to be with everybody in the state of Florida that was affected by Hurricane Ian. I'm so glad to hear that, you know, Allen and Tampa and Jim and Jupiter and Perry Mason made it through it okay. But we're just praying for you. And Ian's getting very personal for me because he's heading towards Charleston. That's where my youngest son, Josh, lives. And Josh is getting ready to encounter his first hurricane living there in Charleston. So I want to give my prayers to Tom and Myrtle Beach and all the people in South Carolina, especially along the South Carolina low country there. Yeah, well, we're going to find the answer to that question tomorrow, Bill, because let's be honest. Alabama played an exhibition game against an absolutely horrible Utah State team. I mean, they lost to Weber State. Then they played a Texas team, which the jury's still out on. It's obviously not a great Texas team. They lost to Texas Tech, so they're probably an average team. And then I don't mean to insult some of our listeners here, but let's be honest. The last 2 weeks, Alabama basically played what I call two extended fall camp tune-up games, opportunities to get stuff right. So I think we are really going to find out on Saturday just how much improvement Alabama made over those last 2 weeks. I mean, they won, they beat Vanderbilt and Louisiana Monroe 118-10, which you would expect them to. They gave up one explosive play in two games, a 22-yard reception to Vanderbilt. You would expect them to, right? One of the bugaboos of the last two games that really annoys me, Alabama has put the ball on the ground seven times, seven fumbles. They only lost one of them, and a lot of those were on punt returns. But, I mean, that crap's got to get cleaned up. I mean, you can't keep moving forward, fumbling the ball three and four times in a game and expect to always get them back. So now we head off to Fayetteville, Arkansas, and Donald W. Reynolds Stadium will be jacked up tomorrow. There'll be well over 76,000 people there. This is a very good Arkansas team. They could have and should have probably be coming into this game undefeated. They kind of shot themselves in the foot on a couple of opportunities against Texas A&M last week. So, Bill, in my opinion, what I'm really excited and looking forward to this game is, Bill, I think it's really going to be an opportunity to figure out what Alabama has because, let's be honest, the Texas game, Alabama couldn't get out of their own way, Bill. When you commit 15 penalties for 100 yards and you give up eight first downs because of defensive penalties, I mean, it's going to help that Scott Campbell's Big 12 crew is not there, Bill. I really think this will be our first glimpse of just what this Alabama team for 2022 is going to be.
And the truth will be revealed about the lines of scrimmage for sure in this game, right?
Oh, absolutely. Arkansas comes in leading the nation in sacks, 20 sacks. And if you look, the former Alabama linebacker, Drew Sanders, we've heard a ton about him this week. He's their Mike linebacker. Drew Sanders, Zach Williams, and Jordan Dominique, those three combined for 13 of Arkansas's 20 sacks. Those three combined for 15 tackles for losses. So J.C. Latham and Tyler Steiner, they're going to have their hands full tomorrow. And it's going to be interesting to see Alabama handles that. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the key you know, I'm a defensive guy, so I talk defense for it, right? I mean, Pete Golding's got to come up with a game plan to try to contain KJ Jefferson. I mean, he accounts for 303.8 yards per game. I mean, he's the straw that stirs the Arkansas drink. But, and he can beat you on with his feet. He can beat you with his arm. But, I mean, Raheem Sanders, the Arkansas running back, he's averaging 127 yards a game. He leads the Southeastern Conference. And Trey Knox and Matt Sanders and Jadon Hasselwood are three extremely talented wide receivers. And Jefferson loves to throw the ball to Raheem Sanders, too, the running back. So, you know, you look at the Alabama secondary, Bill, and Texas in the Texas game, they gave up 292 yards, you know, on 23 receptions, and a lot of that was against the Texas backup quarterback. You know, Alabama fans can point to the stat that Alabama through four games has not allowed a single passing touchdown all year. They've only allowed two rushing touchdowns. But I really think a big part of that is indicative of who Alabama's played. I'm really anxious to see, Bill. I think the jury is out on this Alabama secondary, and I'm really anxious to see how they stand up on Saturday. And I don't mean to dish them, but that's just a reality. Kool-Aid McKinstry and Cherrion Arnold, the quarterback position, you know, they're going to have their hands full. And let's be honest, Alabama has three game-time decisions tomorrow. Byron Young, who sprained his ankle, Jordan Battle, who pulled a hamstring in the fourth quarter, the safety, and we might possibly finally see the return of JoJo Earl at the slot wide receiver position. Bill, I would love to have Byron Young on the field on the defensive line tomorrow, but Bill, if Jordan Battle cannot go as safety tomorrow, that is a massive blow to Alabama. He's the quarterback of the secondary. If that happens, then Brian Branch will move to safety and Malachi Moore will move over from the star to the money position. But Alabama really, really needs Jordan Battle on the field. I'm on hamstrings. You know, that's a tough issue. So I'm really anxious to see how a secondary holds up. On the flip side, if the Alabama offensive line can keep Bryce upright and allow him to have a clean pocket, I think he can have some success against this Arkansas secondary. Miles Slusher is their best secondary player. Dwight McLaughlin, the transfer from LSU, has two interceptions. But they've given up some big chunks of yards in the secondary. They gave up over 300 yards to Cincinnati. They gave 377 yards to the South Carolina Gamecocks. And let's be honest, South Carolina isn't a bad football team, but they hope to improve to that point at some point. And then they gave up 357 yards on 24 receptions to Missouri State. And the big thing in the Missouri State game, and it's been an issue for them all year, of those 357 yards, Bill, 200 of them came on yards after catch because of sloppy tackling in the Arkansas secondary. So if we can keep Bryce upright and allow Bryce to go after that secondary, I think he can have success against them. Another key will be, you know, trying to make Arkansas one-dimensional, shutting down Raheem Sanders and KJ Jefferson's running game to try to make him one-dimensional. On the flip side, Alabama cannot allow themselves, I don't think, to be, you know, completely one-dimensional, even though I said I think they'll go after secondary. I really hope we'll see Alabama establish somewhat of a running game. So, Bill, I know this sounds crazy, but I kind of feel like for Alabama fans tomorrow, it's kind of like unwrapping a package tomorrow and just seeing what type of a team we really have this year.
Got several questions here and maybe 3.5 minutes to get them in. Jeff, too, wants to know about fourth-string running back Jamarion Miller. He played well in the Vanderbilt game. Is there a chance he'll get more touches?
Yeah, I bragged about him on the Southern Gentleman Show. I mean, this is a young man. Go out and buy Jamarion Miller stock right now. The phrase I used with Georgia Dog last week, this is my best compliment for running back, Jamarion Miller runs angry. This guy is a freak show, and he has a phenomenal future. He's averaging 7.3 yards a carry. Granted, a lot in mop-up duty. Yeah, possibly, but you know how Saban is on the road. When you play a road game, Saban plays really tight to the vest, and he doesn't go very deep in the roster.
Kirkland down in Georgia asked Kevin if he's worried about the running game. So kind of not exactly the same question, but just the overall running game in the Arkansas matchup.
Yeah, I mean, Alabama's not going to be able to just focus, you know, on the passing bar. They're going to have to control Raheem Sanders and KJ Jefferson. And KJ Jefferson is a serious weapon carrying the ball. And he's huge. I mean, he's 6'3", 242 pounds. And he's running behind an offensive line for Arkansas, which is just slightly smaller than the Great Wall of China. That's going to be an issue. But so, yeah, defensive coordinator Pete Golding, he's got his hands full tomorrow.
Dom says, Kevin, your Yankees, have they righted the ship after a very rough August?
Hey, you know, kudos to Aaron Judge for hitting number 61. Now I can get 62 at home over the weekend against the Baltimore Orioles. As long as Aaron Boone is the manager of the New York Yankees, they are not going anywhere. They're not beating the Astros. I mean, I hate to say that, but they're not beating the Astros. At this point, I just hope they bring Aaron Judge back and fire the general manager and start over. So kudos to Judge. It's going to be really sickening if he ends up next year in another uniform.
Got maybe a minute. Sam Dog, what does Kevin need to see in the first quarter to make him worry less about? Worry less, that is, about the
– That's a phenomenal question, and I'm going to answer it right off the bat. Number one, particularly with the offensive line because of the crowd noise, play discipline, no stupid penalties. I mean, it seems like our center, Darian Dalcourt, feels the need to commit two penalties every game. It's going to be imperative that Alabama – I went back to the penalties against Texas. The Alabama offensive line doesn't need to help that pass-rushing Arkansas defense by committing stupid penalties. I want to see discipline from the offensive line in the first quarter.
Kevin, got one more. Aliquippa Bob says, ask him about the status of Eli Riggs.
Hey, you know, mop-up duty is mop-up duty. And he's been coming in a lot in the second quarter. But the reality is Kool-Aid McKinstry and Tyrion Arnold have locked down those two cornerback positions because they practice hard every day, and that's kind of where we're at.
Kevin, have a fantastic weekend. Tell your son over in Charleston we're thinking about him as well, and we'll see you next week.
Hey, everybody, have a great Friday, and as always, Roll Tide and go Ole Miss.
Appreciate it very much. Ole Miss Evie is next. I heard from Tom. I heard from Tom over in Myrtle Beach. The Weather Channel is all in Myrtle Beach right now. Like, most of their shots are from Myrtle Beach as Ian is heading that way. And he said he's doing fine. He planned today as an off day, and he's just sitting there waiting. But he says they're doing well. It's supposed to get to where he's at around 1 or 2. Coming up, Angelic Toast. Yeah. You know how I sound right to you on the show? You know how my voice is? Hers is 180 the other way. The Angelic Toast of Ole Miss even. They've got that Ole Miss Kentucky game. Maybe Kiff's been pouting a little bit, too. We'll ask her about that. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. The police trying to wrap up this crash. Everybody's staring at it on 65 southbound here at Dickerson Pike. It's already slow through here as it is. In the cleanup stages of a couple of other wrecks, including 65 south there near Rosa Parks Metro Center out in Smith County. THP is still there on the scene of that truck crash on 40 eastbound at the 253 mile marker. Hey, Ripley's Aquarium in the Smokies is hiring. Check them out online at ripleys.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
It's a scorcher out there, but we've got tips that'll keep you chilling this August. Tip number one, keep your AC in peak condition. Tip number two, drink lots of fluids. Tip number three, go for refreshing top prizes up to a cool million by playing all new August Insta games from the Tennessee Lottery. All of these exhilarating games can lead to cold hard cash. So head to the shade of your nearest Tennessee Lottery retailer and enjoy some game-changing fun today.
Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Please play responsibly.
From scholarship and grant programs to providing students with the qualifications and certifications they need to start their professional careers, the Tennessee Lottery has awarded more than $6.5 billion in funding to education programs, and we're proud to play our part. See for yourself how all of the fun of the Tennessee Lottery goes to supporting someone's future and a brighter tomorrow at tnlottery.com.
Slim's Tender Mac Bowls are back. We start with a three-cheese blend to make our delicious mac and top it with chopped hand-breaded tenders and Colby Jack cheese. Try the Tender Mac Bowl Meal or the Buffalo Tender Mac Bowl Meal, both served with Texas toast and a medium drink. But hurry, they're only around for a limited time. Download the Slim Chickens app to order and earn rewards.
Did you know there's a place where you can get good neighbor service and surprisingly great rates on home and auto insurance? Yep, and that place is, ta-da, State Farm. Here's the deal. State Farm agent Austin Hardy is your go-to agent in the Middle Tennessee community for the service you desire at the price you want. So stop shopping around. State Farm agent Austin Hardy has you covered. Call 615-810-9999 for your surprisingly great rates today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements.
Hey, Nashville, join me, Darren.
And Justin McFarland, weekdays 2 to 4. It's the McFarland Show.
Or family reunion. You know, how do we feel about reunions?
You have to say you love your reunion because it's family.
You have to show up. That's the point.
Yeah.
However you feel about us, just show up.
We'll have more fun than at your real reunion. We're talking Tennessee sports border to border. So join us weekday afternoons.
Live on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Bill King is the motherfucking 12th data point of college football.
You are listening to The Bill King Show, the only college football radio show proven to make you smarter about college football.
Coming to Oxford. That's my number one game. There's several games that I've highlighted, but that one right there is my favorite for the weekend. Evie, let's get this out of the way first, though. Baby Kiff about the attendance, mainly the student body, but give us some insight there.
Well, good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me. I think he just is a little bit frustrated. Probably if he had it to do over again, I'm not going to speak for him, but I don't know if he'd really say something. I think for the folks that don't know, the second half of the Tulsa game, Ole Miss didn't score a point, scored 35 in the first half, so that was great, but didn't score in the second half, and the crowd was a bit lackluster. It was hot in Oxford. The students sit in the sun, you know, whatever. And Kiffin just made some comments after the game that, you know, when you come out in the second half and it looks like you're playing a high school game in a college stadium, you know, it is what it is. That's basically what he said. Now, that being said, we all know basically non-conference preseason, it as Kiffin says, is what it is. I fully expect it to be absolutely packed for Kentucky this weekend, this Saturday. I think Kiffin will be very pleased with the crowd.
All right. What's the situation with two quarterbacks? Is it clearly defined now, each player's role?
It is. Kiffin told us that Luke Altmyer is officially the backup. Jackson Dart is the starter. And now, you know, you get into kind of the gray area of Luke has played in three games. He didn't play against Tulsa, so he played in the first three games. And you start looking at, you know, perhaps wanting to preserve a redshirt season. So there's, you know, there's some questions what would happen if something happened to Dart or whatnot. But for now, I mean, Dart is his guy, and he's been playing well.
No, there's no question about that. He's been playing well. And there is a new redshirt. Well, it's several years old, but it's new historically, and they give you four, but you can spread them out anywhere over the schedule. You used to not be able to do that.
Right.
Is Altmyer holding up okay with this news, or what's going on?
I think he's, you know, he's a competitor. I think he's disappointed. I think he would step in and help his team if he could in a heartbeat. It was a very, very hard fought competition. I think a lot of people were surprised at how close it was. You know, you heard a lot about Jackson Dart coming in, Gatorade Player of the Year, et cetera, and coming in from USC. You know, he brought a bit of attention with him. But Altmyer, again, is a very good quarterback in his own right. He was a Mississippi Gatorade Player of the Year, Under Armour quarterback, you know, 4-star. So he's absolutely no slouch. So very close. And I think, honestly, even the two of them would say that they made each other a lot better throughout spring, summer, and fall camp.
Are you surprised? This is a two-parter about how well Ole Miss is playing in the running game. And then maybe dovetail that with Chris Rodriguez is back for this game
right,
for Kentucky.
Right. You know, I'm not surprised. One, you know, I said going into this season that Ole Miss could have one of the best running back rooms in the country, if not the best. And I think they're proving that. The only little hiccup right now is TCU transfer Zach Evans had a hip pointer against Tulsa and sat out for, you know, a good portion of the game, the second half. I do think that he will likely be able to go against Kentucky. And then, of course, the freshman phenom, SEC co-freshman of the week this week, Quinshon Judkins, running back from Alabama, who has just been nothing short of incredible. And he, Kiffin talked about him and said, you know, somebody said, what makes him so good? And, you know, Kiffin said, I can, you know, give you a lot of reasons, none of which are coaching. You know, he said, the kid has vision, and his exact words were, they ain't teaching vision, you know? So
right.
I think that, yeah. So I'm not surprised by that. Ole Miss has a veteran offensive line. They've struggled maybe just a little bit here and there, but to be honest, I don't know if people realize it, but Ole Miss in the SEC is giving up the fewest sacks. They've only given up 2 total sacks, so, you know, 0.5 per game, whereas I think Kentucky is at the bottom. They're averaging giving up 4 sacks a game. So that definitely helps when, you know, your offensive line is doing its job, but it also helps when you have really, really talented running backs.
And first game, Chris Rodriguez. I don't know if he's in game shape. It's not an injury, obviously, the reason why he was out,
no.
but he's a load if he's right.
He is. And, you know, Mark Stoops talked about in this week's SEC Coaches teleconference that it's not like Chris Rodriguez has just been sitting out. I mean, he's been practicing with the team. So basically, I take that to mean not only is he going to have fresh legs, but he's been preparing. So he's going to be ready to hit the ground running, so to speak, too. So, and, you know, it's a good thing for Kentucky because if you're looking at kind of rush yards per carry, Ole Miss is up there pretty high in the nation. Number 5, number 8, somewhere around there, where Kentucky without Chris Rodriguez is only averaging about 2.4 per rushing attempt. And Ole Miss, I think, is closer to 6, maybe 5.8. In fact, I believe Quinshon Judkins, Zach Evans, and Jackson Dart, all 3 are averaging over 6 yards a carry. So that 2.41 for Kentucky is pretty anemic, but I'm sure that will pick up when the SEC's leading returning rusher hits the field Saturday.
Talking with a Kentucky fan earlier on the show, and he said the offensive line, which has been a strength for Kentucky last few years, has struggled some this year, and you just pointed that out.
Yes. I mean, again, Kentucky has allowed 16 sacks this season. I think only maybe Colorado State and Akron have allowed more. So, you know, that's not really the company you want to keep if you're Kentucky. So, and then on the flip side, Ole Miss is averaging almost 4 sacks a game. And Kentucky has made, I think, six total. So they're about 97th in the country in the number of sacks they've made. So, you know, I think all that goes to a little bit of why, you know, I think the line, it may be back up to 7, which seems so high. You know, it came out at 4.5 and then it went up to 6.5, 7. And, you know, people wondered what in the world. And one, I think it's a home game. And then two, I think Ole Miss has a really strong rushing attack and, you know, pretty good defense.
Evie, in the SEC West, has anything surprised you to date?
Honestly, I think probably a lot of people would agree with me. I think A&M has surprised me, not being as strong as maybe a lot of people thought that they would initially. And of course, you know, everybody saw the App State game, but, I think that surprised me. I think it didn't surprise me that they have gone to Max Johnson as quarterback. That didn't surprise me, but, I think that, and then, honestly, I don't mean to be mean, but I'm kind of surprised that Auburn is as weak as they are. So, you know, other than that, Alabama's going to be Alabama. I think LSU's coming along. And honestly, you know, I think Ole Miss is absolutely, you know, right up there in the SEC West.
Arkansas's got to still be – it's Friday, but if they still have a hangover, I wouldn't blame them.
Oh, man, me neither. What a brutal game. I mean, just from the weird little fumble return, you know, for a touchdown to the kick bouncing off the top of the goal post. I mean, that was just one of those games that if you're Sam Pittman, you just have to just shake your head, you know, and wonder what the heck. But I think it's going to be a pretty good game this weekend. I was listening to Kevin beforehand, and I think, you know, a lot of his keys are very, very important, you know, the offensive line and not giving up the silly penalties and stuff like that, because Arkansas can jump up and beat you. I think K.J. Jefferson's a very good quarterback.
Think about all these SEC West games that we've got to play with Ole Miss and Arkansas and Ole Miss and Alabama and LSU and A&M, and there are so many defining games ahead of us.
There really are, and you know, isn't it wonderful that finally we're getting into SEC play? I mean, I know you know, we need the preseason games to work out some kinks, but boy, I'm happy that we've got these league games coming up. And you're right, and I think that for Ole Miss specifically, you know, I mean, everybody has these tough games, and I just think that sometimes it comes down to the schedule and a little bit of luck, and Ole Miss has Bama at home, and I think that in Mississippi State at home, they will travel to Baton Rouge, but I really feel like Ole Miss's schedule sets up kind of good. You know, they're playing Alabama later in the season this year, so this game between Kentucky and Ole Miss is going to be really important. And I don't know if your listeners know, but it's kind of interesting. Over the last 18 games, Kentucky and Ole Miss are each 15-3. So that's really kind of a testament to me to kind of the direction of the Ole Miss and the Kentucky programs, because that's pretty strong.
Only thing that's missing is another Ole Miss baby Kiff versus Tennessee game. That's the only thing we don't have.
Yeah, I know. I thought we were going to, you know, I thought with baseball with Tony Vols, you know, I thought that might be kind of entertaining, but Coach Bianco isn't, you know, he's kind of the veteran of the league. So, yeah, no, I'm with you. I think a lot of folks would pay money to see that. And, yeah, so one thing I will add is Ole Miss is 15-0 when they have the lead. So that, you know, if Ole Miss can get a lead against Kentucky, then I think that'll bode well.
Ole Miss, Evie from the Rebel Walk, tell everybody how they can get all your content.
They can come over to therebelwalk.com, and they can find us on Twitter at The Rebel Walk and on Facebook, The Rebel Walk, and they can follow me at Ole Miss Evie, and I would be excited if they did, and I would follow back.
Now, I know your daughter is in Mississippi, and you've got your son in school there in Texas. You didn't have anybody on the coast, did you, by the hurricane?
No, I didn't. And other than a whole lot of Ole Miss friends and friends of your show, and I'm with Kevin, you know, my prayers go out to the folks there. Had a friend of mine, he's perfectly fine, but Bill Dyer, who had taken his little grandchildren, they've gone to Disney, you know, and one day he messaged me a couple of days ago and said, well, we're hunkered down in the resort hotel. And so, you know, just all sorts of things there you don't think about, but definitely my thoughts and prayers go out to all those folks. It just looks devastating.
Evie, we will see you next time. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks for having me.
There she is, the angelic tones of Ole Miss Evie. Now, did you just hear that? Were you paying attention? Sure you were. Did you see the detail that she had for her segment? You don't get that type detail unless you work it around the clock. You don't have that kind of knowledge if you're just half-heartedly doing your job. That takes a lot of effort and a lot of want, a lot of care to know the topic like she knows the topic. Very impressive. She's always like that. That is a very typical Ole Miss Evie segment. The way she does things, the way she handles things. Attention to the details. Needle in a haystack. Ask her for the needle in the haystack. She goes and gets it. Says, you mean this needle? Yeah. Ole Miss Evie, fantastic. Always good to have her here. Brad coming up. Brad Powers, top of the third hour, will be with us gambling. Was there something I mentioned earlier in the week that I wanted to ask Brad that I don't remember? I mean, there's a million things I want to ask him, but I just mean there was something that came up. Was that it? Alabama, Ohio State. Okay. Alabama, Ohio State Council loss. I'm sure Josh also brought up, well, no, Josh brought up also Tennessee and Ohio State Council loss. What would the Buckeyes be favored in that game? Tony Ball's go up there for the game, too. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Hello, I'm Greg Pogue, and welcome to the Ohio Valley Conference Football Weekly Spotlight presented by Delta Dental. Choose your health first. Choose Delta Dental. UT Martin's Zach Wallace had a 97-yard touchdown run in the Skyhawks win over Lindenwood last Saturday. The run is tied for the longest this season by Division I player, FBS or FCS. Wallace finished with 204 rushing yards, making him one of two OVC players with a 200-yard rushing game this season, along with Tennessee State's Devon Starley. Eastern Illinois opened OVC play with a 35-21 win over Murray State for the first win for Coach Chris Wilkerson at his alma mater. Panthers' Elijah Watt Tolbert had two interceptions and has three picks on the season to rank fifth nationally. Southeast Missouri debuted in the top 25 poll at number 24 in the Stats Perform poll this week. After a season-opening loss at Iowa State, the Red Hawks have wins over nationally ranked Southern Illinois, Nicholls, and Central Arkansas. It's the first time the team has been ranked since being number 16 on March 1st, 2021. Wallace and Tolbert were OVC offensive and defensive players of the week, respectively, while SEMO punter Dalen McDonald was top specialist. Co-newcomers were SEMO quarterback Paxton DeLaurent and UT Martin Rose. running back Sam Franklin. SEMO at Lindenwood and Tennessee Tech at UT Martin are league games Saturday, while TSU hosts Lane College in the John Merritt Classic, and Murray State is at Southeastern Louisiana. For complete weekly schedules, including live video links, visit OVCSports.com. To find other news and features and more, follow the league on your favorite social media platforms at OVC Sports and visit OVCSports.com. You won't believe it until you OVC it. This has been the OVC Football Weekly Spotlight presented by Delta Dental of Tennessee. Keep your health care costs low and your health at an all-time high with the power of preventive dental and vision plans from Delta Dental of Tennessee. Choose your health first. Choose Delta Dental. I'm Greg Pope, wishing everybody a great weekend of OVC football.
Lace-up jeans, parachute pants, sleeveless turtlenecks, your smile outlasted them all. Because great smiles never go out of style, especially when they're protected by Delta Dental. Keep that smile in style for good at DeltaDentalTN.com.
The dentist will see you now, and now you can see the dentist and the optometrist. Because Delta Dental covers dental and vision, so go ahead and smile at yourself in that rearview mirror. Then take a look at all the dental and vision bundles at DeltaDentalTN.com.
It's just a few cocktails at happy hour.
There aren't any cops around.
After every game, we always have a few. It's no big deal.
It was just a few drinks. I'm good.
Hey, I can hold my liquor.
I drink and drive all the time.
If you put away some drinks, put away your keys. Fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
When it comes to the college football playoff, he's for exclusion, not inclusion. It's Bill King.
Down in Jupiter has dialed us up today. What's up, sir? Do we have it?
So, hurricane comes in, it hits the land, it definitely decreases in power. But the problem is that it's still a really, really big storm, and it works its way up wherever it's going to go, and it just causes massive flooding usually. So you'll get a hurricane, maybe it hits, let's say, Florida or South Carolina or Georgia or whatever, but then it could end up like going all the way up the coast and like causing issues in Pennsylvania and New York State. I mean, it's crazy how they work. So, you know, yeah, they do decrease in power, but I mean, there's major flooding. So, perfect example, it hits in Fort Myers here, but you know, it was a Category 4. Then it goes down to 1, but it really messed up Orlando. It messed up St. Augustine just with the amount of rain that it dumped on everyone.
Brent in Macon says it's almost the same path as in 04 Hurricane Charley when it jumped across the state.
Yeah, and you know what they said about, to give you how much worse this one was than Charley? That you could fit four Charleys inside of Hurricane Ian. That's how much bigger it was in the actual, you know, how much area the hurricane itself was. Wow. So that's why it's going to be way more damage than what Charley did, even though they were comparable. I think Charley was a 3 or 4, but that's what they do. And here's another thing that people don't remember or don't think of, is that when Katrina, remember, Katrina's the bad one that hit New Orleans, right? Might be the worst hurricane of all time. I was at a client lunch. Katrina hit Florida first. Katrina didn't originate in the Gulf. It was from the Atlantic. It went right over Florida. It might have been a tropical storm, maybe even a 1. I'm not sure, but I remember I had a client lunch that day, right? So it's not that bad of a storm. It hits those warm waters of the Gulf, And next thing you know, it's a Category 5, like, barreling down on New Orleans. So, I mean, they can pick up steam also. You know, as long as they get over water, and especially when they get in the Gulf, because the Gulf isn't as deep as the Atlantic. They have warmer waters. I mean, it's bad stuff. So, yeah, I mean, even though it's not the monster it was, I mean, it's still going to cause a lot more problems for lots of people. So, you know, I hope everyone stays safe and property damage is, you know, isn't as bad as it could be. But, yeah, that's how they go. They're just crazy, these hurricanes. So, and one last thing, and I'll let you go, is that just continue praying for the people here. Bunch of missing people. You know, there's a lot of missing people in the Fort Myers, Sanibel, Naples area. And if you're missing, you know, chances are it's not going to be a good, thing. They're probably dead.
Yeah, it's sad. It's incredibly sad. All right, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate
well, you all have a good one.
Yeah, thanks for checking in. Jim down there in Jupiter. I just never thought about that, but I'm getting you guys are learning me. That's what the guy on those videos, Stale Cracker, that guy, he goes by the name Stale Cracker. Look it up. He's funny. He's a cagey guy. He's always doing crawfish, gumbo, yard pimp. The guy's hilarious. He says, I'm about to learn y'all. Well, you guys are learning me right now on this. Man, I remember a lot of these hurricanes. I just never thought about getting over land and then out the other side and on another coast and then reinvigorating. Never thought about that. That's more of a thing than I do. I'm pleading ignorance here on the show. I am. Brad's coming up top of the hour. Yeah, people are reminding me. One of the things that came up, and it was Josh, who up in London, Ohio, brought it up, and it was a couple of days back. Ohio State, Tennessee Council Bluffs it too. Go. Now, there would be points, a lot of points scored in that game. We'll have to ask Brad, what would be the spread, and what would be the over-under in that game? Ohio State would be a solid favorite for sure, but what would be the number? 7, 10, what would it be? I don't know. 11, 100? I mean, what would it be? Vols are equipped offensively to play with anybody. They don't have a roster that goes as far down in numbers like an Ohio State does. And their defense, I got to say, Tennessee's defense, while it's not, you know, great at all, it's been salty enough. It hasn't been as porous as I thought maybe it would be this year. It's been okay. Yeah, it's been okay. And they're off. Notre Dame's off. And then Tennessee gets LSU on the road, and Notre Dame goes out west. They get BYU. That's the game. Isn't that the game? I brought this up prior in Las Vegas. I do believe so. Tom at Myrtle Beach says he's going to be okay. He says they're going to get hit this early afternoon, and it's going to be a lot of rain, but not as bad as what went down in Florida. We'll take the break. Hope you're having a fantastic Friday. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Still quite a bit of traffic trying to get in from Rutherford County on 24 up through the Hickory Hollow area. Just busy down I-40 right now around the airport there through Hermitage, Donaldson. Lots of radar down I-24 in Rutherford County and Coffee County as well this morning. So make note of that and be careful. Ober Gatlinburg Restaurant and Lounge celebrating Oktoberfest. It's going on now through the month of October. You don't want to miss it this year. It's fun for the whole family. OberGatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
The Omni Nashville Hotel, located 5th Avenue downtown and proud sponsor of the Mid-State Checkdown High School Football Game of the Week, is Nashville's premier destination for the highest quality accommodations. Start your day with a cup of Bongo Java and the biscuit bar at Kitchen Notes. Indulge your taste with the best beef in Music City at Bob's Steak and Chop House. And wrap yourself in luxury at Makara Day Spa before enjoying a nightcap at Bar Lines. And when it comes time to host those holiday partings and gatherings of family, let the Omni Nashville Hotel take all the worry off your plate. Proud sponsor of the Mid-State Checkdown High School Football Game of the Week, and located in the heart of Music City, the Omni Nashville Hotel is your only choice. The Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue downtown.
You're the one who protects the flock, and that requires an eye for detail. Because when safety and well-being are on the line, it's the details that can save lives. Even when no one else is watching, you see everything. Grainger gets you, and we're here for you, and all the ones who get it done with a wide range of safety products and solutions, plus board-certified safety consultants here to answer your questions. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Habit Inspected Property Solutions is on the air saluting the brave men and women of our U.S. military. Their tireless efforts should never go unnoticed. This proud salute is brought to you by Habit Inspected Property Solutions, veteran-owned and operated for all your general home inspection needs. Call 615-527-8113. That's 615-527-8113. Habit Inspected Property Solutions. They're people who care.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
Vicki Yates is here, ladies and gentlemen.
As a fan of both of the men, this is the place to be. Do you want to know about sports? This is the place to be. Listen to John and Greg. This is it.
Wow. That was awesome.
I quit.
Yes, no, I'm done. That's a mic drop.
Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. WNSR. Nashville Sports Radio.
Call 615-844-5600. Get in on the Bill King Show.
Hurricane Mario is a Miami fan. He's obviously not happy about this past weekend, MTSU going in there and beating him handily. This is a sign, I don't know if it's a bank or what. And he said, Bill, this was posted on Facebook. It's too funny. And again, he's a Miami fan, so this is kind of self-deprecating. Hurricanes, it says here on this sign, rarely do what they're projected to. Sometimes they veer left, right, or even go straight. Then sometimes they lose to Middle Tennessee State at home. That's the sign. That's pretty funny. I got to say, that's pretty funny right there. Brad Powers coming up. And if you have any questions about this weekend, any games this weekend, however you want to post them, you can post them. Put them on Twitter, at Bill is King. You know what? Go ahead and front load. We're about a few minutes out, but go ahead. I'm in a giving mood. Go ahead and front load. I don't care. It's all good. Put them up. If they get lost on the timeline, I'll take the heat for it. Yeah, post your questions, and we will get them to Brad on this Friday edition, hour number 3. Been a fast week. Been a weird week because I was on the road. We were down in Georgia at Macon. Had such a good time there. And, oh, I got an email from Chris down, I believe, in the Macon area. Bill, sorry I missed you on your trip. You may have noticed during your stay at the 1842 Inn, there's an 8-story apartment building next door on that otherwise residential street. Yes, I noticed that. I just thought those were Mercer apartments or something. Anyways, he said the story goes that two neighbors had a feud over each other's houses about 100 years ago. Neighbor on the western side of the street said to his former friend, "You'll never see a sunset again," and built that 8-story building across the street from his rival. Says kind of like Saban and what he has said to the rest of the SEC West all these years. I noticed that apartment. Yeah, because, I mean, when you go out the side of the building, I guess the front of the building faces, what is that? What road is that? Is that College Street? Anyways. And then to the side where I guess that's either a road or an alley, and then you can park back in there. But then you see that apartment complex. And I noticed it. And the Mercer Law School is right there, too. And Ken was pointing that out when we were down there. Interesting. I'd never been there. I'd never been in Macon. I'm sure I've driven through many times, but I've never been in the city like that. It was cool. That was very cool. Really good experience. And like we mentioned, got to meet a whole bunch of cool people. That was the best. That's the best part of it, right? Getting to meet people that you know, but you hadn't met them before. Yeah, that was well worth it. Well worth it. A lot of you have already posted. Yeah, I see you. I see you. I'll have those ready for Brad. Lake Norman Buckeye said Ian should be blowing through the Charlotte Lake Norman area this afternoon or evening. Not quite sure what to expect from it by the time it gets here, but we'll be on our way to Boone for the game tomorrow. Lake Norman Buckeye, he's got two teams. He went to App State. That's one of his teams. And then he likes the Buckeyes. He has the Buckeyes as well as one of his teams. And he's a young guy. I think he's maybe Lake Norman Buckeye. Are you 25? He's a young kid. Young dude, man. Got a family. And has the world at his fingertips. Tom in Myrtle Beach says it's going to hit his area somewhere around 1 or 2. Brent says, Bill, that law school, Mercer Law School building, originally was an insurance building. It is built to replicate Independence Hall in Philadelphia. More knowledge there. Macon, GA, y'all. Good stuff. Who's the most famous athlete from Macon, since we're on that topic? The most famous athlete either went to Georgia, maybe played pro ball somewhere, didn't go to Georgia, might have gone somewhere else, maybe a Major League Baseball player. Who's the most, you know who came out of there? Me being a recruiting aficionado, Eric Manuel. Remember, he was they didn't have the stars in, but he was a 5-star guard, forward, 6'6", went to Kentucky and gotten, I don't remember what all happened. It didn't work out well. Yeah, the most famous athlete to come out of there. I was thinking about that when I was there, too. Because all those towns in Georgia, there's a famous athlete on almost every one of those towns. That's how fertile that state is. It's how incredible that state is when it comes to producing players. Brad is next in line as we wrap up Power 2. Brad Bauer Sports, go ahead and post. A lot of you have. Front load. Yes, front load. Do it. No rules. Just front load them, man. Put them in there. We'll get to them. That's what that hour is for. It's your questions. And use the hashtag AskBP as in Brad Bauer. BP. Omni Nashville Hotel.